from the podcast, Grant's Rants Hollywood Talk. It's Grant's Rants Small Talk.
Let the ranting begin. I am joined via Skype by Shara Weiss, a contributor over at the Huffington Post, writing about reality TV and other topics worth checking out. Shara, welcome to the Rants.
Hi, I'm so glad to be here. Really excited to chat with you.
I know. Thank you for reaching out to me over on Twitter. I think you'll be an ideal recapper for this show.
Yes. I've gotten in way too deep this season, but I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah. I have to say, I'm entertained. There are other Housewives cities that are on currently that I am having a hard time being motivated enough to keep up with, but that's not the case with New Jersey.
Yes, it's funny. Well, I was just saying to you offline that some people have complained about the season, but I think it's a very exciting season. I heard one person say boring, and I couldn't believe that. This is nothing like the OC was. I'm riveted.
Well,
I'm not giving up.
Yeah, not only that, but compared to seasons past, just of this show itself, New Jersey. I mean, it's been, you know, it's been hard out there for a Jersey fan, and I've said this for the last two seasons. But this season, I mean, I compared to the others, it's anything but boring.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, I agree with that. I was not into the show last season, or actually the season before. I think we're finally getting back to like that excitement we had in season one with the table flipping.
Yeah,
that's the level we're at, I think.
At least there's more than one storyline going on. And,
yes.
And for that, I am thankful. So how
Absolutely.
We mentioned it offline. I want to know how you discovered Grant's Rants.
Yeah, so I was just chatting with, I've interviewed Margaret Josephs before for the Huffington Post. I've interviewed a few of the Bravo celebrities. And I was talking to Margaret because she doesn't live that far from me. And I was chatting with her one day. I've seen her like a few times around town. And she said, and I had suggested a podcast to her. And she said, well, I'm actually listening to Grant's Rants right now. And I remembered hearing your name. I think it was probably from other work that you've done, and you know, AfterBuzz TV. I think you know, the AfterBuzz show is where I'd heard your name before, and I was like, okay, I know that name. Mm-hmm. I'm going to check it out. And then I started listening to your podcast. And so she actually, the cast member, the newest Real Housewives of New Jersey, introduced me to you.
Well, that's amazing. That is not lost on me. So thank you, Margaret. And thank you, Shara. Thank you for listening to my show. Anyone that listens, I can't thank them enough. You know, it really, every individual listen means something to me, truly.
Right. And the fact that someone who's on the show can appreciate it and laugh at herself, I think that shows you something.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I know, because I'm trying to think back here, Shara. I'm like, what did we say about Margaret? I mean,
whatever you said, she loved it.
Yeah, so. I mean, whatever it is, to me, it's my truth. And, you know, that's the God's honest truth, in my opinion. So, whatever, all love, and it's all a good time. And I'm telling you, I mean, I couldn't say anything too bad because I'm really enjoying her on the show more than anything. You know, her, Danielle, the way Danielle, the look she gets in her eye, that Danielle, I'm so excited that she's on. I'm still not over the fact that she's returned.
Yes. Well, actually, I think she's great. And I mean, I think she's trying to be on her best behavior and kind of sweet compared to like what we saw in season one. There's like a certain sweetness. And actually, mm-hmm. Margaret always, you know, in interviews, she's described Danielle as very nurturing and warm and not what she thought based on what she saw in season one. And they're actually very good friends that hang out, you know, off camera. So I've heard great things about Danielle, and I'm just waiting to run into her at CVS because she lives in my neighborhood.
Oh, my God. Yeah, go there like every day.
Yeah. I'm like, where am I going to run into her? I have not run into her yet.
Let's take a look at this episode. We're talking Ain't No Misbehaving. I don't like the word ain't, so I'm already a little turned off. Especially as writers, you know, we're not interested in using that word. I don't know if it was just me, but I was always told ain't is not a real word.
Right. Well, I think maybe it's like Jersey speak, so they went with ain't.
Yeah, yeah. So Melissa plans to back off Joe's restaurant, which I think, you know, could be perceived as her taking the easy way out, not wanting to be involved with that sinking ship. I mean, I have been making fun of that restaurant, calling it the strip mall restaurant all season. Unimpressive to me.
Yeah, and I heard today, actually, it was just announced today that restaurant is going out of business, or... I mean, there was a Page Six article. I don't know if you saw that. Literally, just before we got on the phone, I saw it.
No.
That restaurant is kaput.
Oh, my God. It hasn't even been open for a year yet. Wow.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I don't know. Like, it's page six. I guess we should read it in another publication, but.
Well, I don't know. Page six with Housewives is usually pretty on it. I mean, they've got New York City covered, like Real Housewives in New York. So I tend to side with page six. I use them as a big source on Grant's Rants proper. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, apparently it's no more. So, yeah, we got to see it tonight, though. On Wednesday night. Yeah. Incredible. Yeah. Like, what? I think Melissa was actually making the right decision in saying she wanted to step off of it, because you see how she clashes when it's the three of them together, Joe and Teresa.
And she's kind of the only one smart enough to say, all right, maybe I should get out of the mix here, because I think the others are just clueless. So,
yeah.
You know,
I just thought it was like the best decision, because I can't imagine like going in, I have three siblings. If I went into business with them, I just think it would be a disaster.
Yeah. You know, I have to go back to that restaurant. I have to say, I am surprised, because I thought that it must be a financial issue, because you'd think they'd do anything to keep that alive just to get the promotion from the show and you know, try to ride that wave and be open long enough to ride that wave at least through maybe the spring, you know, have looky-loos and people come in. But I guess they must have dried up because they're closing so soon. I mean, that was one of the ugliest restaurants.
I'm not sure what happened. I mean, there was a post like a couple of weeks ago saying that there was a different owner and it wasn't owned by the Gorgas. Like, there was this post, you know, floating out there. And then today I saw the page six article. So I'm not sure what the story is. It just doesn't sound like it did well. Kind of reminds me a little bit of what was happening with Envy, though, because Envy, you know, if you watch last season, Melissa's partner sort of emptied out her clothing boutique.
Yeah.
And then somehow she landed back on her feet. So I guess we have to stay tuned and see what happens with this restaurant venture.
Yeah, it's a story. I wonder if they'll address it in the reunion. So who knows?
Yeah, that was taped already. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It was taped a few weeks back. Yeah.
Margaret is dancing around her house. Being in LA now, I've recognized accents that I once had and still kind of do. But I love that the people who work with Margaret, they're talking about how they're setting things over to Walmart and that they're going to look at a bunch of flowers for her big disco gala. I love that she's having a birthday gala, a girl after my own heart. I like to call even small things I do galas, because it just ups the ante.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Yeah.
I can't imagine, like, I see, you know, I saw the previews for that party that's going to be at her house, and I've seen her house because, like, it's not far from me, but I cannot imagine it being filled up with all this, like, these dancers and people carrying people, and I don't know, it looks like there's a horse in the room. I really don't know what happened in the last episode, but it looks like a party that I hope she invites me to next year's party somehow.
I know. I want to go. I feel like I feel like it's these shirtless men, these paid for men who are carrying her right on like a big plastic horse. Like, I feel like it's just like we have a horse here in West Hollywood and it's like outside of a furniture store and it's just like a stagnant like statue. So those poor guys are putting in the work.
Yeah. I mean, you're from the East Coast, you said? This is not. Oh, are you from New Jersey?
Rhode Island, New Jersey. New Jersey's little brother, Rhode Island, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I don't know anyone in New Jersey who throws parties like that or who lives like that. I know Margaret's house and it's extravagant looking, but still, like, I don't know. I've never been to a party like that, so I can't wait to see how that plays out. Yeah. This is not my New Jersey, but apparently I live here, but I'm not privy to this type of, those types of parties and
it's
ways
probably,
of celebrating.
It's probably 50% paid by Sirens Media and 50% paid by Margaret. So, you know, when you've got half the party covered, you can splurge a little bit more. I wish I had that luxury.
Yeah, no, I don't exactly have that luxury. I live in like a more, it's funny, like I live not far from all of them, but I live in a very modest, small house. I just like it. It's fun because I can, you know, I love like going in that area and just seeing the houses and and I think this party will be fun to watch. But it's for me, it's like I live in that town, but I'm not privy to what I see on TV. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, I wasn't part of, but that show, Game of Crowns on Bravo. That unfortunate show was taped in Cranston, Rhode Island, where I'm from. And I didn't know any of those ladies, but they would show the fronts of some of the houses, and it was neighborhoods that we would go into and all that. But it wasn't as aspirational as Housewives, and that's as nicely as I can put it. Like, let's just say I didn't desire any of their lives or lifestyles.
Right, exactly.
But it is interesting when there's a show taped down the street from you. It is interesting.
Yeah, and I love that this is so nearby, because they used to just tape in Franklin Lakes, which is where Teresa used to live, which is not so close to me. And I've actually never been in Franklin Lakes, but now they're taping in Englewood and Tenafly. And I live like the next town over in Teaneck. So, I mean, I probably shouldn't let everyone know where I live, but too late now. So I'm a mile and a half away from where Margaret is and where Danielle is now. And it's just, it's funny to me because I live such a different life, but I'm really enjoying watching them and, you know, seeing the Tenafly Diner in the scene where Margaret and Siggy came to blows, basically. And this past episode was just, it was fun to see these places because I know where, like, Sophia Restaurant is, for example. Mm-hmm. But I've just, you know, it just looks so much more exciting on television.
Have you ever been by the strip mall restaurant?
Oh, where Joe Gorga's restaurant No, I've never been there. I actually just said earlier today that I wanted to go there. And of course now it's closed.
I feel like it's like sandwiched between like a Metro PCS and like a nail salon. And maybe I'm wrong, but I'm just like, I just can't get over the location. Like, you know, as a Housewives fan, we're privy to watching these huge, outrageous restaurants be opened in these exclusive cities. And then that one's kind of just like, you know, it's just so shoved in. So I've been really picking on it. And now that I know that it's almost out, I mean, I'm really mean.
I was so excited because I was going to go check that out, and I was going to go check out Envy. Well, I guess I still can.
Yeah.
And I also plan to go to Kim D's Medi Spa, which she just opened up.
She'll do
I have to take a day
a
trip.
Speaking of what people will do for money, Teresa's book, she's going for her photo shoot in this episode, and Siggy is there. I love that they have to have these housewives be there for like moral support. Like, it's so scripted, but I'm okay with it. It's fine. So Siggy announces that she's moving on from Margaret. Okay.
Right.
For how long?
For now.
Yeah. And Siggy encourages Teresa to be very honest with Joe when she goes for visitation. And this is the first time she's going to see her husband since her mother passed. And Teresa claims, I think this is for the cameras, but she's claiming she's looking for an apology.
Right. And the thing is, like, even as Teresa's saying this, it sounds like, oh, finally, Teresa, you're going to be open and honest. But then Teresa says something like, well, I don't know if I'm going to bring it up to Joe. And I feel like in this moment, Siggy was so sane and like the voice of reason that she hasn't been all season, where she was, you know, she was really encouraging Teresa in a really, I think, in a really supportive manner to bring this up to Joe. And it just sounds like Teresa's not going to bring it up to Joe.
No, the whole time I watched, I said, I doubt she's going to say anything. You know, it sounds good for her to say, well, I'm really going to tell him I'm mad. But when it comes down to it, when you haven't seen the man in months, you've got what? Like, how? I don't know how long visitation is. I've never visited a federal prison. But I mean, you know, you only have a limited amount of time with those four daughters. Are you really going to have a serious conversation in that time? I doubt she'll do it.
Also, like, they have a kind of relationship where they dance around things. And for some reason, they're not able to talk about serious things. And so I think she's saying she wants to do it, but they've never had that relationship where they can really commute. Like, he'll just say, whatever, you know, don't worry about Teresa. You know, I just feel like he's going to shrug her off and she's not going to be able to communicate. And it's so aggravating. I think that this communication barrier that they have has always been a problem for them. Yeah. And that's kind of why she, you know, they got into trouble in the first place. Like, Teresa should have been on top of certain things. And, you know, now she blames herself. So,
yeah.
I think that has something to do with, you know, I think they definitely need to open the lines of communication there.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, it's not too late. Let's talk about Dolores. Do you have anything to say about Frankie's college visit and the walk Frank and Dolores took? I don't have much to say. I'm not a fan. I think it's filler. And I struggle with these shows because I don't want to see a bunch of fakery because I turn that off. But at the same time, for me, it's like, where is her boyfriend? How come she shoots everything with her ex-husband? Like, I get her shooting with the ex-husband with her son.
I feel like she didn't want to be on camera.
Yeah,
my take.
Yeah, I get her shooting with her husband, with her son, and their son together. Like, I understand that. But, I mean, we've seen this now. What episode is this? We're too far deep. We're too in.
Is, I think we're in 812. Yeah, because we have 13 and then the reunion.
Yeah. So I'm kind of tired of watching her beat around the bush with this, you know, ex-husband of hers. It's not interesting to me. Do you have any thoughts?
I thought this was the most boring part of the episode. I didn't really care about Frankie's whole... I feel bad saying that because, you know, it's a part of life.
Yeah.
I didn't really care about his college thing, but he struck me as, like, very serious about wanting to pursue a business education, mm-hmm. and I had never seen that side of him. But I agree. It's interesting because I feel like Frank totally loves her, and everybody was tweeting, oh, they're totally boning still. Like, who cares about David? They're still together. But I do wonder about this whole David thing. I think he probably just didn't want to be on camera, but I've never met a man who is cool with his girlfriend living with her ex-husband before.
Right.
It's curious.
I think Frank has been on like every episode except for the Milan trip stuff. And so it's a little odd that like, say David's completely unavailable and uninterested, why does she have to keep running to the ex-husband for? Can't she just show up to an event alone?
Yeah, they're like best friends, and it seems like they really still love each other. Like they seem like a married couple. Like they seem to have this like solid bond. So I don't know how David is cool with that, unless he's just like the coolest boyfriend on the planet.
Yeah,
but it's just. I just wasn't interested in the whole Frankie storyline. Frankie's good looking, so that was, you know, so it was not, he's pleasing on the eyes. That was nice to watch, but I wasn't wrapped up in that story.
No, I haven't been at all. I've really, unfortunately, and I want to love them all, and I say this about even the cities, the shows themselves, but when it comes to Dolores, you know, she's just fallen too far off for me to really care at this point.
Right. Although I love quoting her, I love saying, you know, if you look up loyalty in the dictionary, you'll see my face, because that loyalty has cost her a little bit this season, you know, with the whole Teresa thing and the...
Yeah, well, I don't think she's very loyal at all.
Yeah, no, I don't think so at all. I think, you know, she's loyal to her detriment.
Yeah, she's selectively loyal, which, what is that? Does that really mean loyalty? You know,
she's loyal to Siggy and she's loyal to Kim D, but... Yeah. You know, that loyalty kind of phased Teresa out for a while. Yeah. If my friend was being accused of, like, these awful things by someone, I don't know. I'd kind of want to support my friend and not my friend of, like, 22 years and not march in, like, the fashion show of a woman I've known for a decade or however long she's known Kim D.
Those two, yeah, they look ridiculous doing that. Margaret and Jan, her ex-husband, get together. They've been married, or they were married for 17 years. And she asks if there's ever a chance of her kids, his kids technically, if they'll ever speak to her again. And I really hope that they're watching this show. I wonder if they are, because, you know, one quick glance, you can see, you know, she has contrition. She admits, you can, like, she really never disputed anything that she did, where other housewives you've seen in the past deny. She owns exactly what she did with the affair, and she left her ex-husband for Joe, and, you know, she's on this new path in her life. And, you know, I can understand, she can understand, they feel, you know, neglected and dismissed by yet another mother. I feel for her, and, you know, they sound like adults. I hope they can find, at least to be able to be in speaking terms with one another, you know, common ground.
Yeah, and the fact that Jan is speaking to her, and he's good friends with her, that shows me that he obviously, I mean, he holds her in high regard, and he's forgiven her. I'm sure that it was, like, really awful, and it was tense for a while, but the fact that they're good friends now, I feel like he should be able to help her get back together with her kids, because, you know, you don't just, you're not friendly with someone who, like, really, if he was, like, super, you know, had a vendetta, and it was really, really awful, then they wouldn't be friends now. I have this feeling that they weren't good as a married couple, and that's why they're able to be friends now, because they're like, you know what, this, we really weren't meant to be, and we can be friends now. So I think, you know, that speaks volumes about her. Mm-hmm. Because you don't just forgive somebody when something like that happens. And I think, you know, I hope that he'll help her out, because he didn't seem so helpful in this episode. But I mean, you know what, that's the reality. He said, like, look, you made a decision and the kids got mad and then this is what happened.
Yeah.
And I think, unfortunately, you know, if I were in her situation, I would sort of have, as tough as it is, you have to sort of understand the kid's perspective right now. But I do hope that, they'll all come around.
Yeah. I have to say, I like these stories when it's about real life stuff. I mean, this is relatable to someone, I'm sure. You know, over on Beverly Hills with Erica with her father, like, you know, those are real life things that a lot of people face, you know?
Yes.
So I rather would sit through that than, you know, manufactured, you know, scenes like they did also on Beverly Hills. I might as well throw them onto the bus with when they were on that high roller and they had to bring up things from 2 years ago just to have a scene like that. I'm just falling out with. I can't take to that anymore. But when it comes to these things that are so real, and, you know, you've got her breaking down into tears, not that I want to see everyone crying all the time, but it's very real. So I give her, you know, that I like. And that's what this show has been lacking for me. Because it's been a lot of filler, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Not this season, but previously, the other seasons. This season's been solid, but yeah.
I think there's some relatable things. I mean, like you mentioned Erica. I have a friend who has that exact relationship with her father. Her father did not acknowledge her until, like, pretty recently. And she was saying that this season is so resonating with her. And I think, you know, it's sad to say, but it's true. There are so many kids that could probably, or not kids, but people our age who could relate to the situation that Margaret's kids find themselves in. You know, there are parents who have split up, you know, due to nasty things, and parents that, you know, kids have alienated because there's resentment. And I think that, you know, that's what makes Margaret, I think that's what I really like about Margaret. Like, I'm not judging her from this moral standpoint and saying, oh my God, she cheated on, I don't care that happened, because she's just very real about the present and,
yep,
okay, you know, maybe the way we got together was not ideal, but let me make this, you know, relationship with my ex-husband work. And, you know, I think it's just very raw.
Yeah.
So we really appreciate that.
She's handling it as mature as you can. Like, you know, bottom line is it happened. She moved on. You know, she's not lying about it. She's not carrying out with other people. Like, she's just, this is what happened. And she completely owns her part in it. And that's respectable, especially in this culture of deny, hide, cheat, you know, all this stuff. Especially if you're looking at, like, Vanderpump Rules. Like, I feel like it's like a breath of fresh air. So,
yes.
have you ever had to apologize to anyone's child for calling their mother a prostitution whore?
Well, not in my lifetime. Not yet, but...
not yet. I like that answer. No, not yet. Perhaps in the new year. The year is young.
No, but it was interesting because only one of Danielle's daughters was there for it, and the other one was just too scathed from the whole experience, and she did not... The older daughter didn't show up. So I thought that was interesting. I mean, that was also a very true to life situation where one daughter is like, you know what? I know this is happening on camera, but I'm not there. I'm not doing it. And I thought the daughter that was there was pretty mature in the way she handled it.
Very. And I wondered how her daughters would turn out, because Danielle is definitely a character, and there's been a lot said about her, and she's had a lot of men in and out of her life, which she'll admit to. So, you know, you wonder how that would affect, you know, especially when these kids are on reality TV at 9 years old. You know, you wonder how it affects them. I have to say, though, I was very confused, as a side note, about Danielle's house. Teresa came over. It was a little dark. Then they went up this big, big staircase to a kitchen. I don't know. Where is she? In a townhouse? what was the setup?
She was in a townhouse, but she actually moved to a nice house near me. So I know she lives now in Englewood. Well, maybe I shouldn't shout out her town. But anyway, she was living in, it looks like Fort Lee. And it was a townhouse, and she moved to a house. So now she's in, like, a really nice house.
Oh, okay.
But I think that was, like, a temp... I don't know. I guess they were living there for a while.
Yeah. I feel like she's one of those people that moves, like, every other year.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I, I mean, not to digress too much, but I was actually wondering when I was writing one of my recaps, I was wondering how Danielle got rich. I mean, she's obviously, she has money. I'm wondering, like, how she came into her wealth. I don't remember that.
I don't know. You know, some of the housewives, their primary source of income are their two divorces. So, you know, who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, I wonder that.
What does she do for money? Yeah, I question what a lot of them do for money.
Right.
Across a lot of
Well, Margaret
of
has
cities.
A business. You know, Margaret raised... The amazing thing about Margaret is that she really did... She came from nothing, and she raised herself up by her bootstraps. And you see Marge Sr. later on in the episode... they struggled growing up. Like, she would joke around that her mom had money, you know, her mother would be able to buy lipstick, but like they, you know, they struggle like paycheck to paycheck or whatever it was. And Margaret, you know, started this business from decorating like buckets in her home. She went on to like become this mid-tier, you know, own this mid-tier retail company. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just, it's interesting how these women have come into their wealth
to become
housewives.
There were different rumors online that the Macbeth collection was being sued and they had to liquidate.
Yeah.
And then I went through and I tried to find more information and all those articles were erased.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what those articles are about. That's Siggy's team trashing Margaret. That is people who work for Siggy decided to release this to look into Margaret's business. And I think with any business of that type, there are hiccups. And Margaret did have some, she had some like lawsuits that I think were settled, like not major. I don't even think they're major. I mean, I really can't say for sure, but she does have a thriving business. Siggy is a self-professed relationship expert and has no idea how to run a business of that kind. Mm-hmm. But after she got angry, you know, about the events during the whole anti-Semitic thing, quote unquote, during filming, she decided to go after Margaret's business. And so I think that that's where those articles came from.
Wow. Well, Siggy, I thought you were done with the show, but, you know, it's lousy behavior, no matter how you chalk it up. Well, I mean, of course, this is alleged, but it's interesting that those articles were shareable yesterday and they're nowhere to be found today.
Oh, it's not alleged. I've looked into it. Well, so, yeah, no, it's bad.
Okay, fact. All right, well, we like that. So one thing I will say before we take a quick break, Jillian, Danielle's daughter, she did say that, what did I have here, that she was initially ticked off that her mother was getting back involved with the whole thing. And it seemed the way she said, I don't know her exact verbiage, but it seemed like very like broad, which for me meant Real Housewives.
The show.
Yeah. Did you catch that?
Yes. Yeah, for sure it's about the show. I mean, that's their way of saying it. I think she said she said it as she got upset when she heard her mother was meeting Teresa for yoga. And yoga, I think, is like the introduction to how she got back on the show.
Yeah.
So, for sure.
I can't believe that Danielle got back on the show because she's trashed the show on Twitter and every single producer and person for years. And now everything is humble and great. So,
oh, that's interesting because Siggy is now doing that in the media. And there's a whole, like, they keep pitching All About the Tea, these ideas. And All About the Tea has been running these, like, trash the producer type articles. So I didn't know Danielle's whole history with that. That's very interesting.
Yeah. Wow. Siggy's really going to look back on this time period and say, you know what? I should have left with class and should have left quietly and not made a mess behind me. She's really going to regret it. She's only making it harder for herself, not for anybody else. It's her public image.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, I was just reading an article about one of the producers who I actually know because she lives nearby and she's lovely, but they trashed the hell out of her.
Wow.
You know, Siggy, it was Siggy's story of how things were edited to make her look bad.
Mm. Well, my response to that always is, did the words come out of your mouth or no? you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So when we return, we're going to look at Siggy's conversation with her father, and then that strip mall restaurant has a kickoff, and, you know, there's a little bit of an interaction there, and all leads up to the finale next week. So we'll be back to talk more and to gossip more with Shira in a moment. Grant's Rants Hollywood Talk. This portion provided by Harry's. Harry's razors help you save money. Harry's can help you save about $100 a year if you're a frequent shaver. Take better physical care of yourself in the new year. Harry's products have won countless grooming awards, and they'll keep you looking and feeling great. Harry's is all about a great shave at a fair price. What I love about Harry's is that they have a great shave gel that keeps my skin moisturized, and it allows for a nice, smooth shave. I actually enjoy shaving, which I never did before. Harry's stripped out the unnecessary features and the unnecessary costs to deliver customers one perfect razor at an amazing price. Because Harry's owns their own factory, they're able to deliver amazing quality blades for just $2 a blade compared to $4 or more at a drugstore. And all products are backed by a 100% quality guarantee. Harry's is so confident you're going to love their blades, they'll give you their trial shave set for free when you sign up at harrys.com/grantsrants. Just pay for shipping. Claim your free trial offer over there, a $13 value for free when you sign up. Just cover shipping. That trial set includes a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. To get your free trial set, go to harrys.com/grantsrants.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Subscribe and spread the word.
There are a lot more rants to come.
Listen anytime on all major podcasting platforms.
And now, back to the show.
And we're back talking with Shara Weiss, a contributor over at the Huffington Post. I'm enjoying this conversation a lot. It's juicy.
Yeah. So I know more than I really want to know about this show.
Well, you're perfect for us. So let's talk more about it. Margaret and Marge Sr., they're prepping for this glamorous Gorga restaurant event, which is like, I could have told her, she could have saved some time and missed it, because it's not going to last that long, apparently. But Siggy has RSVP'd to the upcoming birthday gala. So that's this chatter all about that. And, you know, she sent an emoji of two girls dancing. Like, talk about mixed messaging. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, I don't understand that. I mean, she said, okay, so Margaret says Siggy, you know, Siggy sounds excited. She said she's going to go to Margaret's party. You know, I mean, we can predict right now that something's going to happen and Siggy's not going to be at that party in the last episode. And she's telling her mother says, oh, I want to look good. Let me put on my Jimmy Choo's so that I can look hot if I have to face off with Siggy. And Margaret is telling her mom, it's going to be fine. I just got this great message from Siggy. And of course, that's not what happens.
No, that's it. Certain people hide behind the computer, or in this case, hide behind text messages. And when it's to your face, they've got nothing. And I can't with that. I'm so direct. Even though I've lived out in LA for a long time, I'm still very East Coast and I can't shake it. And I don't have much respect for like anything passive aggressive. So
it seems like Siggy just keeps remembering to be angry. Like, she's like, oh, she brought up Hitler, let me be angry.
Yep.
You know, and I mean, even, you know, before they were getting ready, I don't know if, you know, if she met with her, or you were about to get to when she meets with her dad.
Yeah, yeah, let's talk about the conversation with her father, because that was a mess. That was a mess.
Because she thinks, she brought her father on the show specifically to show the audience that what Margaret said was wrong, but it backfired. Because her dad was just like, Siggy, I don't know that you should be calling this woman an anti-Semite. I wouldn't go that far, but look what she's doing to you, like disengage from her. That's all her dad really says.
Yeah, he said stay away from her. Of course, she had to get all emotional and upset and, you know, flailing, arms flailing, clearly playing for the cameras, though. I'm not saying her emotions were fake, but the way it was set up, there were a bunch of hydrangeas in a glass on a cart behind her. She was turning on the theatrics. Like, to me, it just seemed so fake. That this was the fakest scene of the episode, in my opinion.
Yeah, and her father just seemed like, Siggy, chill out. I don't know. Her father just seemed like, look, I don't know. Like, you're always upset to see your daughter upset. But her father was also very measured and just saying, like, I wouldn't go as far to call someone an anti-Semite. Like, be careful. If she's doing this to you, just, you know, extricate yourself from this whole scenario.
Right.
That's what it, you know, same thing as, like, Michael Campanella was trying to get her to leave Italy. I felt like Michael Campanella was saying, leave the show. Get off the show. And I feel like her father is probably like, Sigalit, you know, what is this show doing for you?
A whole lot of nothing. It's not making her look good. I mean, you know, I always joke there was no one in the audience at that retreat except the nephew and the nieces of some of the crew members to fill some seats.
Like, right, exactly.
Like, I don't believe much, you know. I've been in the business too long. I don't know anything, but this is just my point of view. Like, yeah.
Well,
I don't know how well her
invited,
she's doing.
It's funny because I was invited. Jody Goldberg, who is Siggy's friend, actually. I don't really know her so well, but she's in my neighborhood. So I was invited to some kind of a women's empowerment night. I'll let you know what the turnout is like. And if Siggy's one of the speakers.
Oh, so you don't know if she's on the docket. Siggy's not on the docket.
I have no idea. They're friends. Jody Goldberg is the one who basically did the intro to Margaret for this show. Because she's like, you know, a Yenta in the neighborhood. So I will let you know after I go to that women's empowerment night. I'll tell you if there are any plastic surgeons there or...
Oh, I would count on her being there, especially if it's never due to sell the book. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Keep me posted at the rants. I want to know.
Yeah. We'll see if there are any soggy t-shirts being sold.
Yeah, I know. So offensive until it's time to make money on them. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Margaret deserves a cut from that.
Yes. The strip mall restaurant, whatever it is, the old Grizz, it's the grand opening.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I can't keep track because they have the tasting. Now we're going to have the grand closing. Who can keep track? So Teresa calls out Melissa for not wanting to be a part of the business. And Melissa, you know, we talked about this earlier. She says, like, she doesn't want to be the boss of Joe. She doesn't want to boss him around. And that's his thing. And, you know, I can see also, like, I wouldn't want to be a part of any type of a restaurant either, especially one that I wasn't even aware of that you were buying, that your husband bought. So
right.
I'm fine with it in a way. Like, it makes sense. It's a convenient way for her to bow out gracefully.
Yeah, and also that was convenient. It was a great excuse, like saying that, like, you know, Joe. I mean, it wasn't an excuse, but the fact that he didn't tell her about it when he went ahead with it, like, that resonated with Teresa because she doesn't like the idea now of any husband going ahead with some big financial decision without consulting.
Right.
You know, their spouse, because of what happened to her and the position that, like, Joe, she's now seeing her husband put her in. So Teresa was very, you know, understanding at that point. And it took a while to get there, but that was like the point where Teresa was like, okay, I can understand. You know, he never consulted you about this.
Right.
And I think that, like, I think Melissa knows that it's going to be a disaster for their relationship if the three of them work together.
I mean, it's smart. I mean, that is that relationship that they have is on such thin ice. So there's at least someone's thinking, you know, even if it is with a little bit of a selfish angle, I'm okay with it. So,
well,
yeah,
I didn't think
fine.
It was selfish at all. I thought it was totally smart. I think it would be a disaster. And, you know, look, it didn't work out. Clearly, the restaurant didn't work out. So she made a smart decision.
I'm really surprised it didn't work out. I can't imagine that it was that complicated, you know, rent-wise and all that. But, I mean, you know, that restaurant could only fit so many people. I'm kind of surprised, but anyway.
Yeah, I guess we'll stay tuned to hear what happens.
Yeah. So a couple of people arrive, more than a couple, but Frank and Dolores show up together again. Margaret and her mother, Marge Sr., and then Siggy and one of her many best friends.
Right. She introduces her best friend, and then Melissa says, you know, oh, Siggy has so many best friends. This person's my best friend. This person. And then we see the whole Siggy avoiding meeting Marge Sr. thing, which I thought was quite the little storyline there.
Yeah, even Dolores found it rude, which I was shocked.
I know. Yeah, well, Marge Sr. has never come for anyone, and she was prepared to meet Siggy, but... It's interesting because I've been reading the tweets and Siggy says, well, I was totally being set up. Marge Sr., you know, they wanted to ambush me. So now Siggy's coming after Marge Sr. and saying, you know, saying like scathing things online and saying, you know, she planned to ambush me with her daughter.
Well, you know, in Siggy's defense, Danielle facilitated this introduction and,
right.
You know, Danielle's
a sister.
Yeah, so I can understand, you know, she was the one that was literally dragging her over to them. Like, I can understand why she felt a little set up, but I mean, enough is enough. I mean, girl, are you done with the show? You announced before the reunion you were done. You know, yes. Who cares? Let it go. You know, come on. Are you done or what? So
right.
The whole thing.
But I mean, bear in mind that people do not announce in the middle of the season that they're done without the network saying, please give us your resignation letter. So just bear that in mind.
Oh, yeah. No, I haven't taken that into account. Yeah, no, that's very telling. That you yes. know, clearly the reunion went south for her. Clearly someone got in her head, maybe this publicist, maybe like I said, Michael Campanella, but someone got in her head and had her pull out, you know, because I think she would have probably kept going, but I think someone was looking out for her.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, we don't hear about housewives quitting mid-season.
Never.
Yeah, even with Phaedra, I think they waited till after the reunion and things were bad. So it was a bad situation here, and I think they asked her to hand in her letter of resignation. But she's been going like guns blazing. I'm angry at production. I'm angry at I felt ambushed by Marge Sr. that night. Why should I meet? You know, she did tweet out, why would I want to meet the mother of someone I'm not getting along with? Like, what's the point? And I think she just could have been. I asked my husband, actually. I said, would you like go over and say hello to the mother of someone you're not getting along with? My husband's like, why are you asking me this? And I was like, just go with it. Just go with it. I also asked him a few weeks ago. I said, would you think someone was anti-Semitic if they said Hitler? You know, I ran the whole scenario.
Yeah.
And he's like, why are you asking me this? I'm like, just go with it. It's a plot line of a show. And he did not think Margaret was anti-Semitic. So
no, nobody does. Oh, the only person right. that thinks that is Siggy, not even her own father. I mean,
right.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, I'm Jewish also. I did not find her to be anti-Semitic in the least.
Yeah. Ooh, that's so good. Still, though, that's carrying along that theme of her with these smear campaigns. Really
yes.
lousy. Really lousy, especially when you call yourself a relationship expert. You know, that's just an idiot. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, it delegitimizes Siggy. Anything yeah. she says against Margaret delegitimizes her business model, period.
But I also worry that, like, I've seen it. I worry that we're, like, that Siggy has watered down anti-Semitism. Because people are saying things now as a result of this show. Like, I've seen people tweet out, well, Siggy's father wasn't really a Holocaust survivor. He escaped at this age. And I'm like, no, I'm sorry. He still was a Holocaust survivor.
Yeah.
And the fact that people are debating that because of this crazy plot line on this show, I don't know. I blame Siggy. I feel like things have gotten way out of hand.
Yeah.
I mean, well, that's not necessarily her fault, but the fact that we're examining, like, is this anti-Semitic or not? You know, what? There's going to be a time when real anti-Semitic things come up, and now we've like cried wolf over, you know?
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, yeah. You know what didn't do it enough for me? Danielle and Dolores. Now, next week, looking at the finale, mm-hmm. it's time, in my opinion, to wrap this up. I want to get to the reunion. This was a good season. I'm okay with the ending from here. But I expected fireworks between Danielle and Dolores. And it was some shade, and they had a moment, and that was it. But I was really thinking that they were going to go at each other's throats.
Yeah. You know, and everyone was, like, talking about how they were clashing. And for some reason, I was so caught up in the Margaret and Siggy stuff that I didn't find Danielle to be so dramatic this season. Everybody was like, oh, she's a shitster. She is, but I was so distracted by how Siggy was acting that I barely noticed Danielle. That was just me.
Yeah, I mean, I watched every move because I've waited for years for her to come back.
Yeah,
and I thought it would all, like, you know, reach its pinnacle and it would all kind of come together. But Danielle, you know, on paper, I don't trust her relationship with Teresa. I feel like she's setting her up after all these years and the waiting in the wings. I feel like she's setting her up to try to ruin her the way she felt Teresa ruined her. But
really, it's funny because I disagree. I feel like she may be awful and a shitster, but she's really trying to kiss up to Teresa.
Well, yeah, I thought that. Like, on paper, I feel like that could happen. But after watching her, the way she looked at Teresa, bringing her daughter into the scenario, I said, okay, you know, maybe this really is her trying to move on from this. So I thought initially she was trying to set her up, but that scene seemed yeah. like she wasn't so full of an agenda. I don't know, though. I'm still watching her. She's one to keep one eye on at all times.
Yeah. Well, she likes, she knows that she has to like bring up, oh, this person said this about you. You know, it's sort of like Vicki Gunvalson in The OC does the same thing. Do you know what, you know, this person said about you? I guess Tamara does it. They all do it. I hate that. If I had a friend who was bringing me the gossip about what someone else said about me, I'd be like, you know what? What another person says about me is none of my goddamn business. Please stop bringing me. I don't want to hear what they say about me behind my back. Leave it behind my back. Well, maybe that's not why I'm not a housewife. But Danielle is all about bringing that drama forward and then seeing how people react. Like, she wants to, she knows how to stay relevant on this show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know. What do you think about the finale? What do you think we're going to see? Any predictions?
Well, I think we're going to see Margaret's party. My prediction is Siggy will find a way not to show up.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, she keeps, well, she'll say, oh, I forgive you, Margaret. We're good. Well, you know, she even sent, like, we know she sent Margaret a text. So I'm predicting she'll find a way to fake an injury or something and not show up. That's what I think is going to be something dramatic where she doesn't show up. And it looks like Dolores and, you're going to get what you wanted. It looks to me from the previews, it looks like Dolores and Danielle are going to be fighting at that party.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be some words exchange. I don't know anything, but I really want to see them go after each other. And it's almost too late. You know, now if they can have a knockout dragout, I guess that would be good. But I was hoping that would be a storyline. I thought they would have a feud and they wouldn't speak. And I thought that would be the feud that we're getting with Margaret and Siggy, as opposed to just a few moments between the two of them. Because I read a lot in the press how Dolores was treating Danielle like she would treat the inmates when she worked in a federal prison or whatever.
Oh, really?
So,
that's funny.
Yeah, like she had her all figured out and she was manipulating her. And I'm just not seeing it. So maybe it'll play out at the reunion. But I have every bit of faith in Danielle that she knows what she's doing.
I just have a feeling. Oh, we're also going to see. I was going to say that Teresa and Melissa are pretty boring compared to everyone. But we're going to see Teresa visit Joe in jail in that last episode. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they'll show in the prison. I don't think they can show anything.
No, they can't.
Yeah, we'll see the outside of it. We'll hear about it afterwards.
We'll get like the Phaedra version where they drive up the anticipation and they go in and the camera fades and then afterwards they'll talk about what was said, which I'm okay with.
Exactly.
I'm all right with that. Yeah. I mean, that's as good as
it's gonna
get.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I hate to say it. I really think Siggy, I mean, she's gone now, but like after the season, but I think she really stole this show this season. I think the most drama is going to be her avoiding the party. Then Dolores, you know, and Danielle fighting at the party will be the close second.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think. That's what I think our last episode is about. We also see that Margaret has a wall in her house with her photos, like sort of like how Siggy had. I mean, I don't know if they're still up, but for that party, she has like a wall of photos of her. So it's funny.
I think that's kind of fun. Yeah. I mean, you're celebrating yourself and your own birthday. But yeah, if they're there year round, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, we need to come up with some type of a hashtag for this show. What could we say? We talked about a lot of different things. We talked about the staircase in Danielle's house. We talked a lot about Siggy, Margaret, Marge Sr., the strip
mall. A hashtag.
Mall.
I feel like hysteria is the hashtag. Hysteria Lane, because I feel like Wisteria Lane is Desperate Housewives.
Yeah. Hysteria Lane. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I have to think on these, but that's just too perfect.
Yeah, it's been pretty unbelievable. This has been like a surreal season to me. I think Hysteria Lane is good, because actually my mother called me up the other day. She goes, one of your Desperate Housewives was arrested. She was talking about Luann, who made the news, but, you know, apparently she remembers when I was watching the ABC show.
Yeah.
So it's hard to keep up.
Yes. I'm obsessed with the Luann story. I just can't stop following it. That was like a little Christmas gift. I mean, I don't like to revel in people's demise, but I mean, that was so juicy. You know?
Well, the fact that my mother heard about it, that says something, because she, you know, has no idea what this Bravo nonsense is about.
Well, if you want to hear more of my thoughts on Luann, you can listen to episode number 79 of Grant's Rants. I had my grandmother on as a co-host, and that episode is
great.
Available. So check that episode out if you like, and make sure you follow our guest co-host here. Shira, I want to know, where can we find you? What would you like to promote?
Okay, great. Well, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Shira Weiss, or actually my screen name is Shira's Got the Scoop, but if you write at Shira Weiss, you'll find me. I'm also on the Huffington Post. If you just look up Shira Weiss, Huffington Post, and on Instagram, Shira's Got the Scoop.
I like it.
You can check me out there.
I like that handle.
Thank you. Yes, well, that's my new handle.
We'll have to have you on again at another capacity, but I love talking with you. Thanks for all the inside dirt, the scoop.
And yeah. This was a good one. I really enjoy talking to you. And if you ever need to verify any blog story with me, I usually know who pitched it and where it's coming from. I'm joking. I don't always know, but with this particular show, I do, so I can help you out.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, because it's getting messy out there. I need a little bit of guidance.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole other show playing out, you know, off camera.
Yeah. Well, thanks again. Make sure you tweet with the hashtag Hysteria Lane. Is that what? Correct? Is that correct?
Yeah. I just came up with that on the fly, so I hope other people like it.
I love it. So make sure you check that out, and there'll be more rants to come. I love you for listening. We'll be back with more rants.
This has been Grant's Rant Small Talk. Want more? Join the full conversation on Grant's Rant Hollywood Talk podcast on Apple Podcasts, Blog Talk Radio, and in the links below.